Hello, my name is Karen Guglielmo, the executive editor for SearchCIOMidMarket.com, and I'd like to welcome you to today's expert podcast on budgeting for virtualization. I'm joined today by Laura DiDio, a high-tech industry analyst and consultant, a professional writer, and a former reporter. She is a principal at Information Technology Intelligence Corp, a company she founded. Prior to this, Laura spent more than 6 years at a Yankee Group, a Boston consultancy, where she held the title of research fellow. She has expertise in a wide range of topics, including virtualization, desktop, server operating systems, OS security, hardware, and business intelligence. Welcome, Laura.
Hi, Karen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. And as I mentioned earlier, we're here today to talk about budgeting for virtualization. I'll spend the next 10-plus minutes asking Laura to answer a number of questions about today's topic. So let's get started. First, can you tell the audience, what are the biggest costs, in your opinion, of virtualization?
Without a doubt, it's upfront licensing costs and the cost for the service and support contracts. Those will vary by vendor. There's also ongoing management and maintenance costs, and of course, some equipment costs, but licensing has to be number one.
Okay, and I know we talked earlier about some recent research you've done, and could you tell us, in light of the economic downturn, what have you found? Are firms attempting to renegotiate the terms, conditions, or licensing agreements for their virtualization contracts?
Astonishingly, Karen, the answer is no. What we found in polling 700 corporations worldwide was that only 7% had attempted to go back to their vendors and renegotiate their existing licensing contracts to get better deals on pricing or support costs and training, or their planned contracts. 66%, two-thirds, flat out said no, and 27% said they're studying the issue, but they hadn't done anything about it. And that's amazing, because in this day and age, with the tough, harsh economic climate, there are certainly deals to be had.
Okay, and where are the areas that mid-market CIOs can really cut corners on virtualization purchases and still reap the benefits?
Good question. First of all, they need to do a feature-by-feature comparison, comparing the same premier or entry-level or mid-level offerings from each vendor to see what the costs are. So, for example, what you can do is put together a list, and I have done this, and it's amazing how the money adds up. You need to know what you're getting and what you're paying for it. So, for example, a company like Citrix, their Zen Server Enterprise Edition, might cost list price $2,500 for an annual subscription, and typically companies will get a 2 or 3 year licensing contract term. However, a perpetual license, a one-time fee from Citrix for that same thing might be $3,000. So for the extra $500 that you spend for a perpetual license, you could save $5,000. Now, you also have to take into consideration, if you're not using Windows or one of the Linux distributions like Novell SUSE or Red Hat Enterprise Linux, that if you're buying from a VMware, an Oracle, one of those companies, you will have to pay the incremental cost for the what they call the guest OS licenses. And those can range, again, depending upon your configuration, anywhere from $799 to $3,500 per server. So what you'll want to do there is go back to your vendor, no matter who it is, whether it's Microsoft, one of the Linux distributions, or a Citrix and Oracle, and try and renegotiate the cost of those licenses and get a discount. Now, the other big area where you can cut corners, again, if you try, is on service and support. That's one of the things that's under the table. You want to go back and look at your licensing contracts and look at the terms and conditions, the fine print, if you will, to see what am I paying and what are the terms and conditions. In some cases, if you've got a three-year agreement, there might be a provision in the contract that specifies that for each year of the term of the contract, you will pay an additional 5%, 3%, 10%, whatever, for the cost of the license. Okay, you can go back and negotiate and say to your vendor, even if you're in the middle of the contract, hey, These are tough times. I want you to put a cap on that so that it does not go up for the term of my agreement, so that you fix the price. That's very, very important. That can save you tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or even, you know, millions of dollars, again, if you, you know, depending upon the size and scope of your organization. The other thing is you can negotiate for other things like training and tech support and even some on-site support as a condition of renewal. Another big area is, especially in these tough economic times, there is almost no company around that has not undergone a reduction in workforce. The terms and conditions of many of the virtualization and overall licensing contracts specify that you purchase upfront, you agree to purchase, say, 700 licenses over the next 3 years. However, if you've had a reduction in force, you're not going to need as many of those licenses. You could be penalized for that under the terms and conditions of your licensing contract. So you need to go in, take a look, and say, is there a penalty if I downgrade and don't live up to the terms of my agreement? Chances are there will be, but that's another item that you can renegotiate and say, look, these are tough times. I want to stick with you as a vendor, but you need to help me out here and work with me. I've had to cut 200 people off my roster of 700, so I'm only going to be buying 500 licenses. Please don't penalize me, and please don't lower the rate of my discount. Now, 9 out of 10 times, Karen, what you'll see is companies that do attempt to renegotiate the terms and conditions of their licensing contracts to get better deals, even in bullish markets, do manage to come out and get something. You just have to go in and be specific and be willing to negotiate. Everything is on the table for negotiation.
But what about internally? I mean, I know CEOs and CFOs are asking their CIOs to possibly reduce the number of servers without having to buy bigger, more powerful servers. Is that even possible?
Yes, but the answer is going to be it depends. It will depend upon the individual server configuration. It will depend upon the applications that you're running and how new or old your server is. So, for example, if you are trying to virtualize your environment, let's not forget what virtualization is. You are putting multiple instances of an application under the hood of a single physical server. That means it's going to require more power. So if you have a lot of older servers, okay, that are more than 3 years old and they were not robust configurations, you will have to bite the bullet and buy new servers. However, if you've got a server that's 2 years old or 18 months old, you can retrofit and upgrade that server with new dual-core, quad-core, or even the new six-way processors, which will give you a performance boost of anywhere from 20% to 50%. Also, memory is very cheap. Another area where you can cut corners, and this is a mistake that many organizations make, is in trying to get fault tolerance, they buy too much redundancy. Most of the high availability solutions we see today in software have some built-in redundancy already. So there may be instances where you can cut costs by taking a server right now that is being used as a redundant server and using it for something else, or taking it out of service completely and just using it as a cold backup server. That can also help. And by the way, in the process, if you take a server out, you know, out of service as a, you know, ongoing production server, and you're using it as only a cold backup, you'll also cut down on your utility costs.
Okay, and I have time for one final question. For mid-market CIOs, before their budgets are possibly cut even more, what is your advice on how they can present some cost-cutting suggestions for virtualization up front?
I think that what they need to do is, again, they need to run the numbers. They need to know how much they're spending now. They need to know what's operating efficiently and what isn't. So cut where it's necessary, but don't cut into the lean muscle tissue. So you want to avoid cutting back on suggestion, you know, cutting back things that are important, such as training your IT department, because that will only cost you more in the end. but you want to cut things out that you don't need. And for that, you need to go back and do a thorough assessment of your enterprise.
And on that note, that concludes today's podcast on budgeting for virtualization. Thanks again to Laura DiDio for speaking with us today, and thank you all for listening. Have a great day.